Well, welcome. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you to the closing plenary session of this groundbreaking joint meeting of the National Association of Government Archives and Records Administrators, the Council of State Archivists, and the Society of American Archivists. You've made it. And you're here to the bitter end, and we appreciate it very much. My name is Elizabeth Adkins. I'm the Director of Global Information Management for Ford Motor Company, and I am the incoming President of the Society of American Archivists. Thank you very much. It's been a great, great meeting. I think everyone has commented on how terrific and inspiring and exciting it's been, and I'm just so glad to have been a part of this. Now that we've reached the end of this meeting, what comes next? We're going to hear some thoughts on the future from the incoming presidents of NAGARA, COSA, and SAA, myself, as well as some final thoughts from Alan Weinstein. So without further ado, I'll get going on my own remarks. As I said, this meeting has been an important milestone in the relationship between SAA, NAGARA, and COSA. The governing boards of the three organizations have been talking to one another and collaborating on things for several years now, but this was sort of bringing it to a new level. SAA and its members have benefited from the closer collaboration, and I'm sure will continue to benefit. There's so many reasons for it, as a matter of fact, that I thought that I would work on a concept. The top 10 reasons for SAA to continue to reach out to government archivists. Okay. That's the end. So you saw my number one reason already. I'm getting technical advice. Thank you very much. Okay, reason number 10, international cooperation. This is a topic near and dear to my heart, and I happen to know that it's also a great area of interest to Professor Weinstein. During the last several years, SAA has become an increasingly important player in the international archival community. Our publications, annual meeting, and educational offerings have an outstanding global reputation. In addition, SAA has become increasingly active in the International Council on Archives. SAA and the National Archives are both ICA delegates and share an interest and seeing ICA grow stronger and more transparent in its governance. In addition, all of us must look beyond our own borders for best practices for the considerable challenges involved in managing digital records and objects. Reason number 9, standards development. Because of the size, complexity, and decentralized nature of many government agencies, government archivists have considerable experience in creating standards and best practices as a way to communicate their program requirements. DAX is an example of an SAA standard that was made stronger because of the involvement of government archivists in its creation. SAA, NAGARA, and COSA can contribute significantly to international standards development. Number 8. Integration with records management. This is actually a personal favorite of mine. Records management is integrated into the responsibilities of many government archivists, so they have strength in an area that has not traditionally been a focus for SAA. Archivists and records managers face many of the same challenges in managing electronic records, need to develop similar skills and competencies to address them, and face an uphill battle in getting the support they need to address the issues. It is essential for us to start expanding our understanding of electronic records management to the entire life cycle, and government archivists are well positioned to help us do so. Reason number 7, government accountability. SAA members and government archivists share a passion for the role that archives and records play in supporting transparent and accountable government. NAGARA, COSA, and SAA have repeatedly joined forces as advocates for open access to government records. We also understand better than the average citizen the need to balance openness with concern for privacy and national security. I'm sure that as the years go on, we will continue to work together with our government archivist colleagues to take a public stand on issues related to government accountability. Number six, NHPRC. As you know, the National Historical Publications and Records Commission is an agency of the National Archives. Archives and archivists everywhere rely on NHPRC funding to move our programs forward. Now, even me, as an archivist who works for a for-profit corporation, benefits from NHPRC funding. For example, at the Ford Motor Company Archives, we refer frequently to the glossary that Richard Pierce Moses put together, and that would not have been possible without NHPRC funding. As you know, for 2 years in a row, President Bush has proposed zero funding for an NHPRC. And SAA, NAGARA, and COSA have joined forces to fight for full authorization, and in fact, hopefully, beyond that amount. Just this morning, SAA Council voted in favor of a proposal put to us by the COSA board to create a joint task force to advocate for funding for PAR, which is the, Partnership for the American Historical Record. Sorry, my mind went blank for a moment. And this is an initiative that will, we heard about earlier, that will provide funding throughout the various states. It will distribute funding and make it more accessible for many people in many different states of the country. And I know that this same proposal has been put forth to the NAGARA board, and they have not yet had the opportunity to consider it. Reason number five is disaster preparedness and recovery. We've heard quite a bit today about that very issue. And as you know, in the aftermath of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita last year, SAA joined forces with the Society of Southwest Archivists and local, state, and federal government archivists to provide assistance to our colleagues in the devastated areas. Last year's events inspired Richard Pierce Moses to propose May Day, an annual SAA-sponsored effort to encourage archives, libraries, and cultural institutions to launch or refresh disaster preparedness plans. This concept has received enthusiastic support from our government colleagues, who have also been creating their own initiatives to address the urgent need for better preparedness. In response to findings in the Heritage Health Index that many cultural institutions are not sufficiently prepared for emergencies, SAA Council also just approved the formation of a task force to develop a program that defines a trusted archival preservation repository, including a self-assessment tool. We welcome input from our government colleagues as we move forward with this initiative. Number four on my list is technology. SAA has identified technology as one of its top three strategic priorities, as we know that there is much work to be done in this area. Richard Pierce Moses appropriately made the need to address information technology issues a strategic focus of his SAA presidency. Government archivists have considerable practical experience in managing and preserving digital records. And as a matter of fact, the National Archives has been doing it for 30 years. In fact, local, state, and federal governments are often required by law to preserve and provide access to government electronic records, putting them at the bleeding edge of technology. It only makes sense for us to collaborate with government archivists as we move forward on SAA's technology strategic initiatives. Now, number three is ERA. We really can't talk about technology without touching on NARA's ERA project. After all, how many of us can say that we have a $380 million project to manage electronic records over time? As discussed in various sessions over the course of the last several days, ERA builds on archival theory as well as many years of scientific research. The successful implementation of ERA will clearly have huge implications on archival for the rest of us. NARA has only been able to get its funding after many years of raising awareness of the risks raised by technological obsolescence in government. We all need to work together to help the public understand that the future of society's ability to function in the digital age is in our hands. Reason number two, diversity. SAA has identified diversity as one of its top three strategic priorities. As a corporate archivist, I am a strong believer in the value of institutional diversity in SAA's strategic planning and governance. There are really too few government archivists in our ranks relative to their numbers in the profession. I'm talking about within SAA's ranks. And the content provided in this joint meeting has pointed out the huge benefit of incorporating the viewpoints of government archivists in our activities. In addition, A-census results show that government archivists have done a better job than most of us in cultivating a racially diverse workforce. We need to learn how to emulate government efforts to promote diversity, and we need to do this for all the profession. And my number one reason, which by now is no longer a surprise, of why SAA needs to continue to reach out to government archivists is public awareness. This is the last of SAA's top three strategic priorities. Public awareness plays an important role in facilitating the other two top strategic priorities. It is, as we just discussed, essential to funding technology initiatives and attracting a racially diverse workforce. It is perhaps the most daunting of all of SAA's strategic priorities because there are so many other noble causes and needs competing for public attention. All of our plenary sessions this year, as well as many other sessions throughout the program, have pointed to the need for a higher level, going to the next step, of advocacy and public awareness. As you've learned during the meeting, SAA will launch its first major public awareness program in October, which is American Archives Month. We look forward to working with our colleagues in Nagara and COSA to promote this important step toward greater public awareness. And as a matter of fact, American Archives Week really began at the local level and often at the state level. So it's sort of coming full cycle. So as you can see, SAA has benefited enormously from its collaboration with government archivists. It is in the best interests of all of us to continue on the path of collaboration. I'm very much looking forward to continuing to work with Carl and Mary Beth in the coming year so that we can continue building in the momentum of the past years and of this really wonderful, excellent joint meeting. Thank you very much. Okay. So, next we are going to hear from Carl Niederer. Carl is the archivist of the state of New Jersey and is the incoming president of the Council of State Archivists. Thanks very much.
And thank you, Elizabeth. I was tempted, since you shared with me your slides before we even got here to the nation's capital, I was tempted to work up my own version, which would be 10 reasons why government archivists need to be more in communication with SAA, but I decided against that. But we're going to cooperate. Colleagues of SAA and NAGARA and fellow members of COSA, what a week we've had together. On behalf of the officers, board, and members of the Council of State Archivists, the Shih Tzu of archival organizations, I want to commend our partners in this venture, the Society of American Archivists and the National Association of Government Archives and Records Administrators, for daring to dream the possibility of a 2006 joint meeting in the nation's capital, and for your courage and tenacity and months and years of hard work to realize the dream. Bob Horton and Tom Hyrie and the program committee, supported by Jennifer McDade and John Legloek and the local arrangements team, you pulled off the big one, and all of us here are in awe of your achievement. The archival profession is in your debt. I also want to recognize on COSA's behalf six colleagues without whose focused drive and commitment the first ever joint meeting of our three organizations would not have been possible. Outgoing presidents Tim Slavin, David Carmichael, and Richard Pierce Moses, and executive directors Steve Grandin, Vicki Walsh, and especially Nancy Beaumont. Nancy, COSA's board of directors voted unanimously and enthusiastically this morning to name you the state archivist of the state of grace. I want to suggest to you that the success of planning and executing this immense task, requiring years of sustained cooperative effort, demonstrates more than the obvious fact that our organizations can handle the logistics of a very large and complicated conference. It demonstrates that three associations with a defined goal, focused objectives, determination, and a passion to succeed can get in harness together over a long period of time and achieve great things of mutual benefit. So some might say that this was just a really big conference. I would say it was a cooperative, allied campaign culminating in triumph. Now, you probably know where I'm going with this. There is another defined goal with focused objectives that we, united in determination and passion, can achieve for our mutual benefit if we get in harness together. Of course, we seek to preserve and sustain the NHPRC, but the dream is the Partnership for the American Historical Record, a proposed federal program of formula-based matching grants to the states and territories for re-grants and statewide archival programs and services to support preservation and use of historical records in all formats and media. We envisage PAR launching in federal fiscal year 2008 with between $10 and $20 million, expanding to $50 million over time. To begin, each state would receive a base grant of $200,000, with the remainder distributed using a population and area-based formula. Every single state and territory would have the opportunity, for the first time, to apply real funding. Remember, it's as a match, the federal $200,000 becomes $400,000, and to apply that funding to the needs of public and nonprofit records repositories at the state, county, and local level. The leadership of SAA and NAGARA are fully aware of PAR. By now, many of you have heard about it as well. COSA is taking a lead role in advocacy for this. We welcome the support of our partners and their boards, but we need more than that to succeed. We will need the voices, letters, faxes, emails, and office visits of advocates in every state, at every level, in every kind of archival institution, of every size. And we will need this over the long haul. Former COSA President Kathleen Rowe of New York State Archives is coordinating this campaign. She is already working with SAA and NAGARA leadership to plan the strategy and make the connections. I have been authorized by COSA's board to write to President Bush and to Archivist of the United States, Alan Weinstein, requesting that funding for PAR be included in the National Archives FY 2008 budget. But we are not naive. We know that there is at least a slight chance that PAR might not make it into the President's final budget. And so we are running a parallel track to targeted champions of history and archives in the Congress, who we believe will be receptive to the need for preserving and using the American historical record throughout this nation before any more of it is lost. Join me in this effort, will you? Together, you and you and you and you and I can mount another cooperative allied campaign culminating in a triumph that will make even this great conference seem small by comparison. And speaking of joining, I want to applaud my colleagues in SAA for your conscious, intentional efforts to partner with and welcome into the nation's archival discourse government archives and archivists. This conference is certainly one way that you have done this. Another way is your embracing opportunities to advance the nation's archival enterprise through increased and sustained advocacy for things such as PAR. And another way was when you hired Nancy Beaumont to become your executive director. The combination of these things has been enough to convince me, after 28 years in the profession, that it was finally time for me to put my money where my mouth is and join SAA. This morning, at 11 a.m., I became your newest member. There you go. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. It's my privilege and honor to introduce to you now an esteemed fellow state archivist and member of COSA who has toiled in the archival vineyard for many years. My colleague, Mary Beth Herkert, became state archivist of Oregon in December 2005, where she has served for 21 years. She has been active in NAGARA as a member and leader for most of her professional life. As a fellow government archivist, she shares the experience and special perspective of administering state and local public records. Mary Beth is strongly committed to our profession, to education and training of archivists and records managers throughout their careers, and the advancement of the nation's archival enterprise. At this meeting, she assumes the helm of NAGARA, our partner in this enterprise, and I look forward to working with her closely in the year ahead. Would you please join me in welcoming NAGARA President Mary Beth Herkert.
Thank you, Carl. As we draw to a close, it is easy to look back on all the good that has been accomplished this past week. Three organizations worked together and compromised to put on this event. We didn't always agree, but I think in the end, we all came away with a new respect for what we do as a profession and how we do it. As NAGARA president, I know it is our hope of our organization that we can continue to build on what we have accomplished over the past years working with SAA and COSA to put on this conference. So what will NAGARA be doing over the next year? Not unlike Carl and Elizabeth's statements, we too would like to continue our efforts working with both organizations on areas of common interest. As a board, we have decided to focus on education. We want to provide products and solutions not only to our members, but to all who work in the archives and records management profession. After all, it isn't only government archivists who have to deal with email, and as we heard so eloquently this morning, all records professionals are affected by disasters and must deal with their aftermaths. When one of us writes a manual or a policy, don't we all consult with the private business, the corporate world, universities, and governments, policies, and procedures to beg, borrow, and steal what we can instead of rewriting it from scratch? Why not share and work together on these issues, these common issues, as one? We will also, to the best of our abilities, work with both SAA and COSA on issues that are common to us all, such as disaster preparedness and recovery and the NHPRC. As some of you may know, I have coached girls fast pitch softball for 25 years. And in that time, I have learned that the most talented teams are not necessarily your best teams. Most often, your best teams are those that learn to support, console, encourage, and are willing to work hard together for a common goal. My team this year typified this. Before the season started, we gave to our 16U team our number one pitcher and catcher. The parents were very upset. They predicted a season of doom and gloom and begged us to drop down to a lower level competition. Instead, the girls worked hard and rallied around each other, and although they had this penchant for playing and liking to advance through the loser's bracket, which gave their coach many a gray hair, and thankfully I have a very good hairdresser, they accomplished far more than anyone had thought they could, both on and off the field. They finished not lower than 10th in any of their 8 tournaments, taking 3 seconds, 2/3, but most importantly, they learned to like each other and support each other in each and every game. Finally, in closing, I would like to leave you with this thought about where we can go as 3 organizations. My sister-in-law is currently battling cancer and ends each and every one of her emails to us with the following quotation: "We cannot all do great things, but together we can do much, which is great." Thank you. And now I get to introduce our last speaker, and if any of you don't know Dr. Weinstein by now, welcome to Earth, Dr. Weinstein.
Whoops. Here goes the microphone. Okay. Before I begin, and I thank all of you for having stayed for this discussion, this very important discussion with my 3 colleagues here. But I want to make one slight correction to something that Elizabeth said. We quote only an agreement with Lockheed Martin for $305 million, not $380 million. which is not to say that money necessarily comes easy or comes, but there it is.
But I'm optimistic.
All right.
A bit more.
Also, Elizabeth inspired me with her lists, and so I'll start with an absolutely irrelevant list to what we're doing today. But have any of you heard of the 6 phases of a project? Well, some of you have, because I've mentioned it to you. But the 6 phases of a project, should you come into it, are as follows. The first phase is enthusiasm. The second phase is concern. The third phase is panic. The fourth phase is the search for the guilty. The fifth phase is the punishment of the innocent. And the 6th phase, my favorite one, is praise and honors for the non-participants. I'm pleased to join the incoming presidents, Elizabeth, Carl, and Mary Beth, to talk about the year ahead, in this case, in my case, at NARA. But first, we owe one more thank you to several folks here, the outgoing presidents, Richard Pierce Moses, David Carmichael, Tim Slavin, to Nancy Beaumont, to the program committee for an outstanding week. Would you join me in thanking the program? The major themes of this week's trilateral convention, public awareness, advocacy, technological change, disaster recovery, are, I suppose, from my point of view, all of them mesh nicely with our goals at the National Archives and Records Administration for the next year and beyond. These goals are outlined in our new strategic plan, which will serve as our guide for the next decade. The final draft is posted on the website, archives.gov. Many of you, and we're appreciative of this, have already read it and provided comments. But let me give you, to start, the essence of the plan this afternoon. First, the NARA vision statement. But I have to make a confession about vision statements. When I was first asked what my vision was at NARA, I thought that was the easiest question in the world. I said, 2020 with glasses. But it's, somehow that didn't go over. All right. As the nation's record keeper, it is our vision that all Americans will understand the vital role records play in a democracy and their own personal stake in the National Archives, that our holdings and diverse programs will be available to more people than ever before through modern technology and dynamic partnerships, and that the stories of our nation and our people are told in the records and artifacts cared for in NARA facilities around the country. We want all Americans to be inspired to explore the records of their country. Then there's our mission statement, that the National Archives and Records Administration serves American democracy by safeguarding and preserving the records of our government, assuring that the people can discover, use, and learn from this documentary heritage. We guarantee continuing access to the essential documentation of the rights of American citizens and the actions of their government will support democracy, promote civic education, and facilitate historical understanding of our national experience. And finally, very briefly, our 6 strategic goals. First, that as the nation's record keeper, we will ensure the continuity and effective operations of federal programs in managing the government's records. Second, we will preserve and process records for opening to the public as soon as legally possible. Third, we'll solve the challenges of electronic records in the government. Fourth, we'll provide prompt, easy, and secure access to our holdings anywhere, anytime. Fifth, we will increase civic literacy in America through our museum, public outreach, and education programs. And finally, sixth, we will equip NARA to meet the changing needs of our customers. Now, one would think those were unexceptional goals. Let me assure you that there's a lot of pushback on some of them. Now, let me indicate how we plan to meet these goals by 2009, which will mark our 75th anniversary. By 2009, we envision NARA's lead role in managing federal and presidential records to be widely acknowledged and implemented through constructive partnerships with other segments of the archival community. We can't do it alone. We can only do it together. By 2009, we envision NARA's reputation for preserving and making accessible to the public on the most timely basis the greatest number of records possible, a goal occasionally placed in jeopardy in previous years, that this goal will be thoroughly confirmed, and that the current classification system shielded against possible abuse through development of a national declassification initiative and other chances, which we're going to unveil next month. By 2009, we envision successful implementation of Increment 1 of NARA's electronic records archives, now being developed, alongside a greatly expanded effort to reduce substantially the backlog of unprocessed paper and electronic records. And boy, is it a backlog. So much so that I'm thinking of calling it a surplus. Would you? By 2009, we envision a greatly expanded NARA presence on the World Wide Web and significant expansion of our digitization efforts, all with a focused goal of assuring more prompt and easier access to our holdings anywhere and everywhere. In short, our dream of the archives without walls. By 2009, we envision the National Archives playing a major role in strengthening civic literacy, using our documentary heritage throughout all of our facilities nationwide. And finally, by 2009, we envision even more greatly improved services and assistance to our stakeholders and customers. Before describing briefly how we plan to meet these goals, let me note that we will be pursuing them in an environment of tight fiscal constraints, which we expect to last at least several more years. Already, we've taken steps to bring expenditures and expectations in line with the likely resources that we'll have over the next few years. We've announced our intention to consider closing Washington area research rooms in the evenings and Saturdays. It's unclear whether that will go forward. We're still working on the hours. New hours will be posted. We will lose some hours also in other parts of the archives, including the parts outside of Washington, the regional archives. And these measures will reduce costs for security services and for energy usage. I wish I could tell you exactly where that. We had a public meeting about that a few days ago, and we're listening very carefully, very carefully, to our researchers. I wish there was one simple concern the researchers had. There isn't. There are a lot of different proposals, and we're going to try to sort through them. We've already implemented a hiring freeze, and we've received approval from the Office of Personnel Management for buyouts of employees in certain job categories. All of the units within NARA have tightened their purse strings. But let me tell you that I have taken the pledge that there will be not one single NARA employee released from NARA during this period, if I have anything to say about it, who does not wish personally to go elsewhere. There are no firings, there are no furloughs, but we're trying to hold on to every employee we can. Because there could still be a very significant shortfall, not due to any of NARA's actions, but due to the general budget climate, and that's something we're trying to improve. Even as we face limited resources, the workload continues to increase. The deadline set by the President's executive order on declassification, the end of the year, is rapidly approaching. The need to develop procedures for accepting electronic records from the White House and the departments and agencies remains urgent, and both create additional demands on our resources. On becoming archivist last year, I discovered that we were also facing a huge backlog of unprocessed records not yet available to the public. Despite these fiscal constraints, we're determined to provide even better and more effective service to the public by refocusing our attention and resources on reducing and, in time, eliminating this backlog so that researchers can have access to these records. This work is embodied in NARA's mission to enable people to discover, use, and learn from this documentary heritage. We're making changes in staff assignments to help meet this goal. In recent years, NARA has expanded its role in managing the records of the federal government, both paper and electronic. It issues guidance to help departments and agencies establish better records management practices and provides as much help as we can. As some of you know, that we established a Federal Records Council last year, an interagency committee to work on strategies, best practices, and solutions to electronic records and records management issues. I'm very proud to say that our 17 federal record centers have now had five profitable years operating like a business within the federal government, providing storage and ready access to records for departments and agencies. NARA is also developing new guidelines to govern the declassification of government records. This issue arose after I discovered from the New York Times, I might add, earlier this year, that some records that have been declassified and on our open shelves for years have been pulled off by their originating agency with an eye toward so-called reclassification. We're now reviewing all of these records and returning as many to open shelves as possible while we develop new criteria for the declassification of government records. We're seeking support from the executive branch and from Congress for a pilot national declassification initiative, the purpose of which would be to establish what amounts to a confederation of existing agency declassification authorities, resources, and expertise to assure timely, prioritized, efficient, consistent, and effective decisions to declassify, or to continue classification if that's what's needed. But declassification is just one hurdle to public access. Within the holdings of the National Archives, I'm sorry to say, are hundreds of millions of pages that have been declassified, some of them since 1995, but which require processing by the National Archives before they can be made available to the public. This processing can entail the withdrawal of items identified as requiring continued classification or pending referral, screening for information subject to other restrictions, privacy, et cetera, national security, and archival processing. But we all know that when you get right down to it, access delayed is often access denied in reality. Our greatest single challenge in the coming years is the rapidly growing number of electronic records being created by the federal government and at a phenomenal pace. Unlike parchment and paper, electronic records can become inaccessible quite easily as time passes and technology advances. The hardware and software used today to create these records can become obsolete very quickly, within years or at times months. This leaves countless important records at risk of being lost forever, but the good news is that the technology for preserving electronic records is finally catching up with the technology for creating them. NARA's Electronic Records Archives, or ERA, will begin to come online next year. The mission of ERA is clear and simple. It will authenticate, preserve, and make accessible far into the future the important electronic records of the federal government, regardless of the type of hardware or software used to create them or the technology available in the future. That's the dream. That's what we come out with. The technology that ERA brings will be scalable and adaptable for the entire archival community and for other institutions, public and private, including the ones represented in this room, that create, preserve, and make accessible electronic records. If ERA represents a key challenge to NARA, civic literacy runs a close second. Because of its importance, we've embedded the role of civic educator directly into our new strategic plan. Now, education activities, of course, have been robust throughout NARA for decades, ranging from programs in the regional archives and the presidential libraries to those activities based here in Washington. But now these programs have a flagship in our new learning center, which opened in part this summer and which will be fully operational and open by December. The learning center will enhance and strengthen our efforts to reach into the nation's classrooms to help students and teachers study history, civics, and social studies in a more exciting way through the use of primary documents. The center will continue its program of educating teachers how to use primary documents in the classrooms. I wish I could say there's universal enthusiasm for this in certain corners of the government. There appears not to be. As the National Archives looks ahead to the future, we will also consider how to better serve customers, and one way is through our website, archives.gov. The website is continuously being updated with information on new developments at NARA. Those who don't use the website now, I strongly urge you to consult it. It's adding more and more links, more and more information, and we're very proud of it. We must be concerned also on another subject about the loss of our experienced staff through retirements and resignations and the need to replace them with qualified individuals. From my first day as Archivist of the United States, I've been committed to building on the National Archives relationship with your three organizations, with the Society of American Archivists, with the Council of State Archivists, with the National Association of Government Archives and Records Administrators, and of course, not just with the leadership, but with the membership of these organizations. The challenges of the 21st century are there for all of us, the challenge of electronic records, the challenge of preparing for and responding to disasters, and most importantly, the challenge of making the public aware that the documents we house are the bricks and mortar, the essential bricks and mortars of our national history and our legacy. We will work in partnership with you to meet these challenges, and in that vein, a related initiative that has NARA's full support is the Partnership for America's Historical Record. You can count on us. I've also been pleased to develop plans to work with state archivists in developing plans for records recovery after natural disasters such as the hurricanes that hit the Gulf Coast last summer. I think you know all that, and I'm going to skip part of this in the interest of time. Time does not even allow me to itemize the range of other initiatives already underway throughout the NARA family, many of which hold significant partnership opportunities, implicit or explicit, which we trust will attract our friends elsewhere in the archival community and among non-archival stakeholders as well. Now, I mentioned earlier in my remarks the Archive Strategic Plan, which has been revised to take us through the period 2007 to 2017. During the revision period, we sought and received comments from all of your groups, SAA, NAGARA, COSA, for which we're grateful, as always. We believe that your views and those of our other stakeholders and customers are important and allow us to continue to improve the way we provide timely access to the records that document the actions of our government, the rights of our citizens, and of our national experience. A final point, not in the paper, but just a personal, very personal point. I thank all of you for the hospitality that you've shown me and that you've shown all of the other NARA employees here this week and before, and obviously we hope after this. But in my own case, I have been absolutely touched beyond what I can tell you by the friendship, the support, and the goodwill that I've had here. So let me thank you again, finally, for inviting me to help close this week of important business for you. My colleagues at the National Archives and I have been honored to be a vital part of your efforts, and we look forward to greeting you again here in Washington in the future. And meanwhile, the work continues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Professor Weinstein, we have all heard wonderful comments throughout this meeting as to how gracious sort of a city host you've been to all of us and how impressed everyone is that you've been so present and so enthusiastic throughout this meeting. So Mary Beth and I have a couple of tokens of appreciation from our members. Hold on just a minute. You got yours, I got mine. You now have your choice of shirts. You have a NAGARA shirt and an archivist shirt, which, of course, really, you are the archivist. Thank you very much.
Can I say another word?
Sure.
It's none of my business, as they say, but this wonderful trilateral meeting, as I've been teasing, Lee calling, some of you have heard of the Trilateral Commission, well, this trilateral meeting is so effective from my perspective in terms of your interest, in terms of our interest, in terms of the general interest of the archival community in this country, that you must, all of you, find ways of maintaining the communications and the contact and the cooperation and the collaboration. Because, as I said when we opened these proceedings earlier this week, when you ask the question, how many archivists does it take to change a policy, it's everybody in this room. So I wish you well with that. No, and that's my final word. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you may think we're done, but we're not quite done. We have, I would like to ask Jelaine Chubb to come up along with Janet Olson. Jelaine is the host committee chair for NAGARA's annual meeting next year, and Janet is SAA's host committee chair.
Good afternoon. On behalf of the entire NAGARA Kansas City 2007 Local Arrangements Committee, I'd like to invite everyone who works with, manages, preserves, or is interested in government records, be they federal, state, or local, to join the National Association of Government Archives and Records Administrators and the Council of State Archivists next July 18th through 21st in the heart of America, Kansas City, Missouri. This is sure to be a dynamic meeting with pre-conference workshops, educational sessions, roundtables on electronic records, local government records, and other issues, as well as numerous network opportunities. For more information about the program, you can go to our website at www.nagara.org, and there will be a call for papers and proposals coming your way soon. In addition, the Local Arrangements Committee members are going to pull out all the stops to make sure that the 2007 conference in Kansas City is exciting and full of fun as this joint meeting has been. Thank you. So if you like barbecue, baseball and blues, or if you're into museums, art, nouvelle cuisine, or haute couture, come and see what Kansas City has to offer. That's July 18th through the 21st, 2007. We hope to see you there. And now, Janet, I think you're going to tell them what you have in store in Chicago for 2007.
Well, the host committee for the 2007 annual SAA meeting in Chicago can't promise you that the weather won't be as hot in Chicago next summer as it was here, although we are planning to work very closely with Mayor Daley on the weather situation. But we can promise you that from August 27th to September 2nd, 2007, you will be thoroughly indoctrinated into Chicago history and culture before you arrive, and then thoroughly infatuated with the city when you leave. Many things have changed since the SAA annual meeting was last held in Chicago in 1997. This is the program from back then, if anyone remembers.
From the archives.
Some Chicago traditions are gone. I hate to inform you that the Berghoff restaurant has closed, and Marshall Field's is now Macy's. Can't deal with that. But there are many new traditions that we offer. For example, we now have a winning baseball team. For a moment. And there are new buildings and spaces to enjoy in Chicago, including the wonderful Millennium Park, conveniently located to the Meeting Hotel. And you'll see many familiar archival repositories, cultural, academic, religious, and corporate, as well as lots of new ones, too, all across the city, including a little place called the Chicago History Museum, which is the newly renovated space formerly known as Chicago Historical Society, plus lots of new other places, too. No matter what may have changed in Chicago, what will never change is the exciting diversity of the city with its distinctive neighborhoods, its great food, its beautiful lakefront, its excellent food, the music, the delicious food, the great architecture, and, lest we forget, really good food. The members of the host committee represent the diversity of repositories in the Chicago area. And I don't know if are any of the members of the 2007 host committee still here. You can stand if not. I'm representing them then. Okay. We are all committed to sharing with you our love for Chicago, and we won't let you leave until Chicago is your kind of town, too, to coin a phrase. On behalf of the 2007 host committee, we look forward to welcoming you next summer. So mark your calendars. August 27th to September 2nd, 2007. Thanks.
Well, clearly Janet and Jelaine received the memo about what color jackets they should wear to the closing plenary. With that, I want to bring the closing plenary to a close and this meeting to a close. I'm the last one to hold people from a party, so thank you very much and look forward to seeing you in one place or another next year. And Dana, if I could see you for a moment, thank you very much.